In this perek, the halachas of the shvu of mud and mixus are dealt with extensively. The shvu of mud and mixus, we learn from a pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim, says al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al se, al salmo, al kol ha-tabe, we translate asher yamar ki zeh, the way Chazal translates means that if a person says this and only this, or this alone, ki who's there. And there we learn that a person has to make a shvua on moedav miktas. What's moedav miktas? Moedav miktas entails three parts. We have a claim, so one person claims from the other, money, and we have an admission, and a confession, and we have a cure. There's part of the claim he admits to, and part of the claim he denies. All that we learn from Chi Hu Zeh. In other words, a specific part, a specific claim. And for there we learn the halacha of Shvuas Moed B'Miktas. According to the Torah, if a person claims money from someone else, and he totally denies, he need not make a Shvua. However, if he admits to part of the claim, and he denies part of the claim, then he's included a shvuas moed b'miktas. In order to gain a deeper understanding of the idea behind the Torah of the shvuas moed b'miktas, and the depth of understanding of why the Torah said that a shvuas moed b'miktas should be chayev, when a person is moed b'miktas, he's chayev, and when a person is kol v'kol, when he denies the whole claim, he's potter. Today we're looking to one of the specific halachas, one of the more interesting halachas that we have in Shvuas Moed B'Miktas, and from that we'll hopefully gain a deeper understanding into the idea behind Shvuas Moed B'Miktas. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Parashat Shvuas Hadayon, Tarnu Chitim V'Hadaloi B'Sa'irim Potter. If a person claimed that someone owed him chitin, wheat, and the other person admitted that he owed him barley. That means he denied owing him wheat. However, he said that he did owe him barley. Potter. In such a case, he's potter from a shvuas moed b'miktas. The Rabbi Gamliel machayev. Here we have a machloekes chachom Rabbi Gamliel baton or chitin v'hoylo b'sarin, where a person claims one type of thing, chitin. In the case of the Mishnah, and the person admitted to something else, even though the something else is a partial admission. It's less, it was less than the value of the chitin. However, still, it is not a shvuas, it is not a moed b'miktas according to the Chachamim. And the Gamliel says that he's chayav. In the Gemara brings a limud for the din of the Chachamim. Gemara on Lamed Testament Day says, Ki Hu Zeh, from the word Ki Hu Zeh, Shmuel learns two things. One thing he learns, Moed B'Miktas HaTaina. That's the basic halacha that a person has to admit to part of the Taina to become a Chayav Shvuah. The Chav HaHidol Mimin HaTaina. And one limit we have from this pasuk is that it has to be of the same species. The same thing that was claimed in the case of the Mishnah Chitim, the Haidah also has to be in Chitim. However, if the Haidah is in something else, even though it's a partial admission, still, it's not Mechayev, a Shvuas Moed B'Miktas. Now, Tosfos and Daf Mem brings a Gemara in Bava Kamma, very interesting Gemara, which is very relevant to the understanding of this halacha of Tana B'Chitim V'Haylo B'Sari. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, on heavy base, Gufa, Omer Rabba Bar Nosson, Tarnu chitin v'hoidaloi b'sarim potter. He brings, Rabbi Nosson HaMoira brings the halach of the Mishnah, seemingly. If a person claimed chitin and the admission was in sarim, he's potter. Right? So, in fact, the Gemara, my kamashalon. So, what do we learn? It's a Mishnah, Tanina. Our Mishnah, which we just learned, Tarnu chitin v'hoidaloi b'sarim potter. Says the Gemara, Ine hasam, if I only know the Mishnah, Havamina Potter need to make chitin v'chayiv with may soyrin. That although he need not pay the chitin, through his admission. His admission will not be mechayev him to pay the chitin. The chayev is made tzorin, but what he admitted, the tzorin which he admitted, he would have to pay. Rabbi Barnosan adds to the halacha of our Mishnah, not only is the person not chayev a shvur, not only does his admission does not constitute a moed of a mitzvah, an admission in part of the claim, but even more so, when one person claims chitin and the other person admits tzorin, even though that hoidah spelled into me aidin domi, when a person admits he is liable no matter what, however, in this case, where there was a claim on something else, an admission on something else entirely, he's plucker totally. Not only does he have to make a shvur, he need not even pay the tzorin which he admitted. So, we have this halacha which we have to understand. Very difficult to understand. Rabbi Barnosan says halacha, we pass this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Rambam Shulchan Aruch, that if a person claims chitin, and the other person admits to tzorin, not only is he not chayav a shvur, it's more than a mitzvah, but he doesn't even have to pay the tzorin which he admitted. So, there are three basic something that we show him why he need not pay the tzorin. Rashi says, Potter, ask me d'mei tzorin, the ha'omer le tzorveya lab tzorin navilach, v'achu le mochol gabeya. Included in the claim for chitin, he's seemingly saying also that I have given you chitin and not tzorin. Therefore, Rashi says, even if it's true that there were tzorin, he was Michael, achulei Michael gabei. Obviously, from the fact that he did not claim the tzorin, he must have been Michael the tzorin. Tosfos says something different, however similar, that although we cannot see from that he was Michael, but we have something else. It's an admission. By the fact that he claimed chitin and he did not claim tzorin, we see from that, inherent in that, is an admission that tzorin is not chayav. It's as if he would say, ah, you owe me chitin and you do not owe me tzorin. So the same way we want to make the person liable for the tzorin, but through the halacha of hadas bazin kamei eidim domi, that when a person admits to something, it's as if 100 eidim came and said that he's chayav. However, here we have on the other side, we have the on the other side, we have Haidah from the side of the claimant. The claimant was claiming, and from that we understand that he has no other claim. He does not have a claim of tzorin. So, from his words, we can deduce that he's murder, that there is no claim of tzorin. That he is not old tzorin, that he's only old chitin. The Rosh here in Bava Kamma asked the obvious kasha, which is, does a person always bring all his claims at one time? From the mere fact, how can we deduce anything from the mere fact that he claimed, and he only claimed the chitin? Rashi says we deduce from that he was merchol. Tosfos says that we deduce from that he admitted. The whole admission or the mechila can only be deduced if we would say that always when a person comes to din, he'll claim all his claims, he'll put all his claims on the table. However, such is not the case. A person, today he came about one Dittara, which was the person borrowed from Yechidim, which had nothing to do with the other thing that the person borrowed from Yechidim. At this point in time, he wasn't ready to claim the Yechidim. So therefore the Rosh says that the case has to be speaking that there is talking about the same story. In other words, he came and said, on Monday, the 3rd of Tammuz at 9 o'clock in the morning, I gave you 100 Torah of Yechidim, And the other person said, no, at Monday, the 3rd of Tammuz, at 9 o'clock in the morning, you gave me 50 shah of tzorin. But if they were not relating to the same case, then there will be no din of tzorin of the chitin v'haydul of the tzorin. That's what the Rosh says. However, the other Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Sefer Tshumis, and the Shulchan Aruch, Mu'alach, and the Rambam, all paskin the halacha as it says, which is, if a person claims chitin, and the other person is moed of the tzorin, he's potter totally. So now, Tosfos here in Shmuel and in Bava Kamma They have an interesting. This halacha, which we learn in the Mishnah, I mean, that does not constitute a haidah of a mitzvah tatayna if he was moida. Now, Rabbi Gamliel holds that it does constitute a haidah of a mitzvah tatayna. Can Rabbi Barnotin say his halacha of Tohu Nukhid Baruch B'Sorim is potter even from the Dmei Sorim, even according to Rabbi Gamliel? Actually, when a person admits to Sorim, he is not chayiv to pay the Sorim. Can that constitute a haidah for Moedah B'Mitzvah? According to the Chachamim, it does not constitute a haidah for Moedah B'Mitzvah. So the question does not arise. However, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that says that a haidah of Sorim constitutes a haidah for Shavuos Moedah B'Mitzvah, can that shita coexist with the shita of Rabbi Barnosan that Torah Luchit Barnum Lusadar is Potter Tolu? So there's two Pirush Mitzvahs. One is that it can't, and the other Pirush is that although he is Potter from the Sodom, and although now by his admission he has no liability comes about to his admission, still, a Shavuos Moedah B'Mitzvah is chayav according to Rabbi Gamliel. So, now let's think about this. We have a din. A person, the halacha of Moedah B'Mitzvah. A person came and said, you owe me $100. And the other person said, I owe you $50. So, he has to pay $50. And also he has to swear, we say, from the fact that he admitted to $50, maybe he owes the other $50, he has to swear. So that's a Moedah B'Mitzvah. I understand it very well. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, in this case, what happened? A person came and claimed chitin, and he was murdered soirin. What happened from the soirin? We say patur. It's as if he didn't admit at all. And still, we will say, according to Tosfos, that there's a chiyuv of a Shavuos Moedah B'Mitzvah. So besides the difficulty in understanding this, just on the basic level of here the admission basically is an admission which is she's not incurring any liability to the admission. But if we're going to try to look at a few of the halachas of Moedah B'Mitzvah, of the Shavuos Moedah B'Mitzvah, and see whether this halacha will fit with the different halachas that you have in Moedah B'Mitzvah. First, the first thing, we have to look at the Gemara which you read before. The Gemara that Shmuel said that we have two psukim, one for Moedah B'Mitzvah Satayna, and one for Moedah Mimin Hatayna. I mean, one pasuk tells me that the Haidah has to be part of the Taina, and the other, that's the basic halacha of Moedah B'Mitzvah, the other pasuk tells me that it has to be of the same species. Now, why do we need two psukim? Haidah, shaloi mimin ha-taina. Is that a part of the taina? If a person's claiming chitin, and the other person entering soyim, is that mitzvah ha-taina? Is that a portion of the taina? It's something else entirely. Especially according to Rabbi Reinhoffen. According to Rabbi Reinhoffen, we're saying that it doesn't relate, seemingly, it doesn't relate to the taina whatsoever. The taina was chitin, and that taina has been denied totally. We have a different haidah. So, is that, it's not only not mimin ha-taina, not from the same species as the taina. It's also not mitzvah ha-taina. It's not part of the taina. In other words, I did not reinforce any of the taina by my admission. None of the claim was substantiated by my haidah. The haidah was on something else entirely, and the claim remains unsubstantiated. So therefore, it's not only not mimin ha-taina, it's not mitzvah ha-taina. And the Gemara says there's two separate things. One, although we can understand that something could be mitzvah ha-taina, part of the taina, even though it's not min ha-taina. So, especially contrary to another, we have to understand why is min ha-taina, why is it qualified as mitzvah ha-taina? The first question. Now, quickly, we're going to ask one or two more technical questions on this halacha, of Tanu Bechit and Vahailo Vaisorim, that although he's potter from this Oirim, still he's Chayav Moed Mitzvahs. Again, just to review quickly. We have in our Mishnah a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel. If the claim was on Chitin, and the Haidah was in somebody else's Tzorim, I'm Chayav Shavuos Moed Mitzvahs. The Gemara in Bava Kamma brings Rabbi Ranoshim that says, not only according to the Chachamim are you potter from the Shvuah, you're even potter from your admission, what you admitted to the Tzorim, you're potter from paying altogether. Tosfos, we both say, that this halacha is true even according to Gamliel. That means that although you are potter from this iron, still you're chayef in a shvuos moed v'mitzvahs. So now. This halacha, which does not perform it for going into it totally, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that's Dalet, brings a halacha in moed v'mitzvahs, which is called halach. Try to explain Halach in 3 minutes or less, we'll do our best. The Gemara says that Rav Chia says, Monarui biyotcha. One person claims 100 zuz from his friend. Ba'alo oimer emach biyadi elin, nun zuz, v'halach. First of all, I owe you 50. Second of all, here they are. In other words, he pays on the spot. Or, alternatively, according to Sabi Shainan, he says that you have it already, it's a Bikurim, and here it is, I don't have to pay you, take it. I'm not paying you, it's all over. The claim is finished, he finished it off, he paid 50. In such a case, if you have a Shvut Modem Mitzvahs or not. Rav Sheshet Omer Helwach Potter. Rav Sheshet says that if it included in his admission of Modem Mitzvahs, saying that he's Chayev, at the same time, he says Helwach, which literally means here, take it, hey look, here, take your potter, my timer. The Gemara says why? Even the Amalei Halach, since he told him Halach, Hani Zuzi the Kamoja Bagabayo command the Nokat Lahu Malvadami. This money, which the admission is coming on, is as if the Malva, or the lender, had them already. The Ina Chamishim, Ha Loi Moigi. In the other 50, he did not admit. So, to explain this, so the halacha is, we talk about the sheshes, that if a person comes and claims 100, and the other person says, I only owe you 50 and here it is, he's not chayav a shvuos moed v'mitzvahs. And according to the Rishon, the basic understanding is as follows. A shvuos moed v'mitzvahs, like we said, has three parts. It needs a claim, and it needs a confession, and it needs a confession. That means there has to be here an outstanding claim, and on the outstanding claim, we have it's partially substantiated by the fact that we have an admission. Now, in the case of Halach, what actually happened? The person said, you owe me $100. The other person said, I owe you 50, and finished. Here it is. So what's the outstanding claim? The outstanding claim is only 50, because we're finished off. There's no business between us anymore. So it says if, the Rishonim say, it says if the claim was only 50, and to the 50, he denied totally. So therefore, it remains a case of kofer hakol, a complete denial. Because since the claim which he admitted to is no longer outstanding, so we reset the din Torah, and we say, the 100, it's not a claim of 100, really it's only a claim of 50. And in a claim of 50, there's a total denial. And therefore, he's not chayav shvuos moed v'mitzvahs. And it only remains a kofer hakol, a total denial. So now, after that quick understanding of the case of Halach, let's try to bring that back to our case of Tanu Chitin v'Hayu Lo Bisayim. Again, a person claimed Chitin and the admission was in Sa'irim. Rabbi Barnofen said that when the person admits to Sa'irim, he's not chayav. So, is there anything outstanding? Is there anything left to pay? No. The same way that by Halach, where he took the $50 and he paid it, we say, there's no more loan outstanding, and therefore it's a kofer hakol. So, it should definitely be a kal v'chomer, then when he doesn't have to pay altogether, not only did he pay it, he'd have to pay altogether. So, this should constitute a case of Halach. Whereas Halach is constituted in a case where there where in a case where after the claims are finished, after there's the claim and the counterclaim, there's nothing more outstanding. So therefore, in the regular case of Heruch, we say, since he paid the money, there's nothing more outstanding. And in our case, if Tonal Chaitin Vahil of the Sayyidin, is there anything outstanding? There's nothing outstanding because the Sayyidin he doesn't have to pay. So even if we can understand somehow that the Haidah of Sayyidin, although this Haidah is not making him chayav, but we don't accept this Haidah, but still we say that it counts as the money of the Mikdash. Okay, the money of the Mikdash. But let it be Heruch. It's the money of the Mikdash which he paid already. Is there a difference whether he paid by taking the money out of his pocket or he paid by the fact that we say he doesn't have to pay whatsoever? Mechila. So therefore, that's something which the Kashi was not going to ask. Even if we can understand that Tal of Mechitin, Vahil of Isarim, is the money of the Mikdash, but it's just not Heruch, and he should become, therefore, Potter from the Shvur. Another question which is asked is based on the Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Dalad, Hilchos Torah V'Nitna, Halacha Dalad, Ein Moida B'Mikdash Chayav Shvur Ad She'Yoida B'Dover She'Efshir Lo Yilich For A Boy. A person is only Chayav in Shvur's Moida B'Mikdash if he admitted to something which he had a chance to confess. Keita. What's the case? מי שתורה לחבר ואומר מאה דינים יש לו אצלך חמישים שבשטר זה וחמישים בלוי שטר אין מחביא עליה לחמישים שבשטר אין זה מועד במצטה תאינו. A person said you owe me 100 dinar. 50 I have a star. 50 I don't have a star. So he said, you know what? The 50 they have a star, I admit. The 50 they don't have a star. Well, I don't know. There was no such thing. So now, is this a mode of a mitzvah? Seemingly it is. He claimed 100 and he's admitting 50. However, the Rambam writes, it's not a mode of mitzvah. Why? We didn't need his admission. He could not have denied that. Against the star, a person can't say that I never borrowed. Here's the star. So thank you very much for your admission. He didn't admit anything. A mode of mitzvah needs a confession. That's just a mitzvah, a confession. Here, what did he confess? He confessed something that he could not have denied. That does not constitute a confession for Moedah B'Mikdash. So the Achloim explained to Rambam that the words which they use is that the Rambam says you need a Haidah Mechayevet, which means you need a confession which causes a liability. In other words, if there's a liability there without your confession, then your confession has not caused any liability. That does not constitute a confession and admission for Moed B'Mikdash. So, where you would have been liable anyway, your confession is not a confession which caused the liability. The liability is there notwithstanding. Therefore, it does not constitute a Haidah, a confession for Moed B'Mikdash, because it is not a confession which is causing a liability. So, if so, let's go back to our case of Tona Bechitin Vahil of Yisrael. Clearly there, once again, his confession is not causing a liability. It's true, he confessed. However, he's not chayav to pay the Yisrael. And therefore, it's a Haidah, not a Haidah Mechayevet, not a Haidah which is causing a liability. So therefore, how can Tosfos say that even according so Rabbi Radosin, there's a din of Rambam Gamliel, that means even if the person is not liable to pay this oilim, still there is a Shvus Majma Mitzvah. It's true they admit it, but his admission did not cause a liability. So therefore, he should not be chayav a Shvus Majma Mitzvah. So, just to recap quickly, before we try to get the understanding of Shvus Majma Mitzvah, which maybe will help us to answer these questions, quickly, again, we have a case where a person was Taiveya, he claimed Chitin. And someone else admitted, he said, no, I don't owe you Chitin. However, I do owe you Se'orim. And we say the halacha is that he's Potter. He does not have to pay Se'orim. But Taiveya says that according to Gamliel, swear he has to swear. Which Shvur might have been mitzvah. The Shvur which is caused by admitting part of a claim. And we ask that although it's true they admitted part of the claim, but we see in many places that But through his admission, he does not become liable, he should not have to swear. And even if he did become liable, but if it's already paid, like in the halacha of Eiluch, if the claim is already paid, also he doesn't have to swear. So therefore, how could it be that now he has to swear a shvus by the mitzvah if he's not liable to pay the soil? So to try to understand this, and once again to understand why the idea of mumin hataina, or the species, the type that the haidah has to be, the halacha that the haidah has to be the same as the taina, is a different halacha of the halacha of mitzvah the taina, that it has to be a portion of the taina. It's going to be a very, very difficult gemara of mitzvah. And we're not going to try to understand all the difficulties which arise from the Gemara, but we're just going to try to take out one basic idea from the Gemara, which will help us to understand, in general, many, many, many things as they apply to Shavuot Moed Mitzvah. The Gemara says above in Tiyah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, it brings Rabba. The Gemara there is trying to understand, in certain cases, whether they constitute a Moed Mitzvah or not. So the Gemara brings Rabbah, who says a rationale for the idea of Shavuot Moed Mitzvah. And he says as follows. The Omer Rabbah, Mipnei ma Omer Torah Moed Mitzvah Tani Yishovah. Why did the Torah say that a person who is a Moed Mitzvah, who is mixed in part of the Tana, must swear? So, Chazoka ein Oden Meir's part of the Tzeibah Koyba. It starts as follows. In general, we feel that when a person denies a claim, the chances are that he's telling the truth. Why? Well, a person doesn't have the gall to shamefacedly to deny a claim straight out of hand. If the person, he knows that the other person knows that he's lying. To come into Beis Din and say, no, I didn't borrow, we have a chazaka. A person wouldn't do such a thing. Seems like things have changed since the time of Chazal. However, in the time of Chazal, we understood that a person wouldn't have a flaw, would not deny something when the other person knows that he's lying. The truth is that this person, who was one of the mixes, really, truly, he wanted to deny the whole law. But the reason, he wasn't able to. He just couldn't bring himself to deny totally. So therefore, what he did was, he admitted partially. Listen, I'll do my best. I can't deny it totally, but I'll admit it partially. Now there's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, Mipnei ma'omra tayra, v'loi choshvoi kemeshiv aveda lopatroi, sh'loi kofar b'kuloi. The Gemara says that meshiv aveda, someone who gives back an aveda, is part of the mishkur. What's the case? I came and I found a wallet, and it had $500 in it. So I go back to, I put up a sign, found the person, I said, here's your wallet, it has $500 in it. So the guy said, yeah, very nice, but my wallet has $1,000 in it. You stole all the $500. So let's say this person is a money from excess. He's a money from excess. He's claiming $1,000, he's needing $500. So we say, no, it wouldn't be right. So the Chacham said that a Meshav Aveda doesn't have to swear. Why? Look, he's a nice guy. He came and he brought back the warrant. We're not going to make him swear, even though technically there is a motive of excess, because the owner is claiming $1,000 and the finder is admitting to $500. However, we say that whatever the person was benevolent, he doesn't have to swear. So, here's what Rashi's saying. Why is it that the Torah said the motive of excess has to swear? Look, the Kavrakol was putter. Well, he was nicer than a kafrako. He admitted to half. So he should also not have to swear. So now, the Rishonim asked the Kasha and Rashi that Meshav Aveda is a Dindur Rabbanon. Like, the Arise severely, a Meshav Aveda does have to swear. It does have to remind the mitzvah. However, the Chacham said that we take it away and we say he doesn't have to swear since he was benevolent, he was a nice person, we want people to do things. If not, no one will ever be a good Samaritan. Okay. So what does Rashi want? Rabbi is speaking about the Torah. Why did the Torah say that he has to swear? So how is he invoking the idea of Meshav Aveda which is the Rabbanic idea. This idea the Rabbanan instituted. However, the truth is that even though he was nice, still the Torah said he has to swear. We'll leave that question for 1 second. So now the Gemara continues. Says so we said as follows. A person doesn't have the gall to deny something totally, and therefore we say the reason he didn't deny it is because he couldn't deny it. The high bekulei boy delay, really he truly in his heart he wanted to admit to the whole thing. The high delay oide, the reason he didn't admit ishtamudu the kam ishtamud, he was gone for time. So it's very difficult. What did Gemara want to say from the fact that he wanted to admit? The idea for the shmur was we're saying that really he wanted to deny. In other words, it seems that he's lying. However, so what do we have to say behind the cooler boy delay that he really wanted to admit? So Rashi explains. Why are we giving him a shvua? He's a liar. He's a thief. So therefore, if he's a thief, so why should we put a shvua on him? So, and that we say, no, he's not a thief. He's just stolen for time. So here, all the Rishonim also ask on Rashi. We, Paskin, the Gemara, Bob Messiah, 2 days later, said that we don't say Migid HaKhashna Mom and HaKhashna Shavuza. In other words, although a person might be capable of stealing, however, saying a Shavuza Sheker, that he wouldn't do. So therefore, why is Rashi saying that I would think Migid HaKhashna Mom and HaKhashna Shavuza, that since we see him as a thief, therefore he'll make a false Shavuza, but we see later the Gemara says that even though a person but might be a thief, still a false rule, he won't take a false rule. So that's what they say, different shot. So, quickly, in the time that we have remaining, we'll just explain one point here to understand the Gemara and to answer these 2 questions on Rashi. One was on Rashi, on one side, said that it seemed that the rationale to pater him from a shvuah is Meshav Aveda, is because he's giving back an Aveda, and giving back an Aveda is only a Dindra Abona. And on the other side, he says, Migid HaKhashna Momona, the reason we shouldn't put a shvuah on him is because we see that he's lying, and maybe he's stealing. However, still, we say that a person who's stealing, it's not clear that he's going to make a false shvuah. So we're going to read the Gemara slightly differently. In other words, the idea over here, when Rashi brings the technical ideas here, of why he should be potter, it's not a question of, look, the Torah gave a shvuah. Gave a shvuah to one of the mitzvahs. But he should be potter from the shvuah because he was a Meshav Aveda. Like in the true case of Meshav Aveda, that we say that really there's a rationale, there's a reason to put a shvuah on him. However, since he's a Meshav Aveda, we took him away, or we exempted him from the shvuah. That's not what Rashi is asking here. Here, the Gemara is going on the Mitnei Ma'om L'Torah. Let's go, the basic idea, why did the Torah give a shvuah? In other words, the Torah said, Kofa Kol, it's Potter. The person denied totally it's Potter. So what did the Torah see? Where do we see? One question. And also, what do we stand to gain? The question over here wasn't that he should have technical reasons which should exempt him from the shvuah. Rabbi is going into the essence of the shvuah. Why is it that the Torah saw fit to give a moed of mitzvah shvuah? So on that, Rashi says, look, moed of a mitzvah seemingly is a better person than a kofar akol. In other words, he's putting it right away. So, how do we look at it? How are we going to look at this person? What is the reason for giving the shvuah? Obviously, the reason for giving the shvuah is to get down to the truth. However, from the fact that we're giving a shvuah, it seems that looking at the case, it seems to us that the truth is that actually he owes the whole thing. In other words, why do we see that? Because when one person makes a claim and it's denied, we say, you know what, go home. There's no good. You made a claim, he denied it, And therefore, there's no halakha until you can bring proof, until you bring edim. There's no claim, and there's no liability whatsoever. So now, what happened to change our minds? So he admitted partially. Okay, so admitted. Very good. So he gave him something. He gave him a present. He could have gotten away from the whole thing. He gave him a present. What do we see now? And that the Gemara says, no. When a person denies totally, he's in a mezva. There we see that he's telling the truth. However, when a person was moida b'mitzas, when he admitted, what do we see? We see that the person had a problem denying it. He had a problem denying it. And therefore, he's not a meshav aveda. He's not a nice person. On the contrary, he's the person who couldn't deny. You look at him as a finer, more magnanimous person of the kofar kol. It's not true. The kofar kol, we say, is telling the truth. However, the moida b'mitzas, we say, he's not a meshav aveda. He's not being magnanimous. On the contrary, we see from the fact that he admitted that there must be some credence to this claim. That's one half. The other question was, okay, the Sager. Sure, we see that. What do we stand to gain from the Shvuah? One way or another, if he's telling the truth, there's no reason to give him the Shvuah. If he's not telling the truth, so then what are we going to gain by giving him the Shvuah? The idea was obviously not to give him the chance to seal the Shvuah. And there, the Gemara said, no, the basic idea of the Shvuah is to get him to be Maida, that he should admit. And since we feel that, by looking at this thing further, that the probability is that he owes the whole thing, therefore we say, let's give him a Shvuah that he should be Maida. And it doesn't bother me. Maybe he'll make a false shvua, because we're not expecting him to make a false shvua. We're expecting him now to admit. So, from the Talmud Gemara, what we see is that the idea of shvua of the Maariv Mitzvah was that something is presented to the Dayanim. Something the Torah sees something here. The Torah sees from the fact that the person was not able to deny totally the claim that there's some credence to the claim. And any haidah, any admission, which can fit that bill, which is that we see from the admission that there's credence to the claim, that is going to constitute a moida b'mitzvah. So, quickly, going back to our case. Tal b'chitin v'hoyer lo b'tz'oyin, even though we hold that he's potter from the tz'oyin. But why does he say tz'oyin? Why is he saying outside? The book is not tal b'chitin. Let's look at the other way. We thought the Rosh said, does the person always say all his claims at one time? So I have a different question. The opposite of the Rosh. Does the person admit to things that he wasn't asked for? Someone goes to his neighbor and he borrows a drill and a cup of milk. The person comes back and says, can I have my drill back? He says, I never borrowed your drill, but here's a cup of milk that I borrowed from you. The cup of milk has nothing to do with this. So what is it that's forcing the person to admit now to Aaron when the claim was hidden? So for that we say that this constitutes a haidah which fits in to the idea of moedim mikdash, which is that a person does not have the gall to deny something totally, and on the other hand, ishtamutika mishtamut. So, now we're standing whether now, for a technical reason, we'll be puter from the Assyrian or chayiv in the Assyrian. But still, we say this haidah relates to the claim. In other words, the reason being maida is because the claim is pushing on him, and therefore it gives credence to the claim. So, as we explained before, we had two questions: haidah mi mixtas hataina, v'haidah mi min hataina. Although it's not mi min hataina, although it's a different breed, however, it's a different species, however, it is mixtas hataina, because mixtas hataina means I am giving some credence to the claim. You made a claim, if I would have said no, nothing, then I was not more than mixed with the Tanya. When I said yes, something, whether I'm hired at something or not, I have been might have been mixed with the Tanya. I have substantiated the claim somewhat. This claim now has become a stronger claim, and Chazal and the Torah sees that there's something here from the fact that he was not Klefer, there was a Haidah. So, as far as Halach goes, Halach doesn't qualify. Why? Because Halach, as we explained, when the person claims 100, and now he pushes, gives him 50 and says, nothing doing. Therefore, he remained now with a new claim of 50, and that 50 was not substantiated whatsoever. Because by paying off the other 50, he said, I have nothing to do with you, and he's not substantiating the claim. And if he would be amazed, pun of, if he would have a difficulty, he would have to admit something to the outstanding. So too is the idea of a person who's moida amomim she'en yochel lichvapoy, that we said a person needs haidah mechayevis. The idea that a person needs haidah mechayevis, that the haidah, that admission must cause liability, the reason for that is to say that he has to give some type of credence to the claim. When a person says, I owe you only 100, 50 in the shtar and 59 in the shtar. By admitting to the 50 nishtar, he didn't give any credence to the claim whatsoever, since he could not have denied it. So therefore, we haven't seen anything. Wasn't anything that was pushing on his conscience that made him be murder. Then he was murder, as is. So although there is a haidah, technically, he's chayiv. However, the moment in Yochel Lichvar Boy, when he could not have denied it, he has not substantiated the claim at all by being murder. However, in the case of Tana B'chitin Vayelaboy Sorin, although he now does not become Chayiv, however, he has substantiated the claim by the fact that he was murdered the 50.